Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Thursday. We're almost there. We're almost to a Friday. It's 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You can also always find us on the 101.3 ESPN app, and you can always find us as well on your Amazon Echo Dot, your Amazon Echo, or your Alexa device. So ask Alexa to stream WCPV or 101.3 ESPN, and she'll hook you up and get us on the air as well. So however you want to listen, we appreciate you joining us today. We go up until 6:25, and then it is Red Sox Yankees in the, well, the finale of what's been a volatile series so far, both in terms of behavior and on-field play as well. We're not sure what we're going to get tonight. We think it's going to be exciting. It's Rick Porcello against Sonny Gray. We'll have the lineups for you in about 15 minutes before we get set to take you out to Fenway for the pregame show. Also, Bruins hockey tonight against the Maple Leafs, game one of the Eastern Conference playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs. We will have for you 6:30 over on AM 960 The Zone. In just a matter of minutes, we're going to talk about the NHL playoffs with Eddie Garcia of Fox Sports. Real quick again on last night for the Red Sox, as we put a bow on it. A 6-game suspension for Joe Kelly. He's appealing. 5 games for Tyler Austin. He's appealing. My take on this, if I'm the Red Sox, if I'm Brock Holt, I would have been offended. I would have been upset. Looking at it impartially, I am not a Yankee fan, so I don't skew and say, oh, whatever the Yankees do is perfect. I'm not a Red Sox fan, so I don't skew it and say, whatever the Red Sox do is perfect. I look at it and say this. To me, Tyler Austin did not slide overly late. I didn't have any problem with his slide. Even the fact that he was cleats up a little bit, and it wasn't obnoxious, it wasn't egregious in my opinion, but it was, I can acknowledge it was cleats up a little bit. Despite him doing that, I didn't have any problem with the slide itself. If that's a double play ball, I have no problem with the slide. He went into the bag and he tried to break up a double play. I would have no problem with it. However, Brock Holt was not going to turn a double play on a bunt. Tyler Austin knows this. Brock Holt was stretched out at the bag like a first baseman trying to make a play on a force out at first base. He was not even straddling the bag so that there could be the attempt at a double play. That is where I have an issue with it. I don't think the slide was dirty, but the lack of awareness on Austin's part, I think that is the problem. As for Joe Kelly, I have no problem with you throwing at somebody. You hit him in the back, I have no problem with that. Where I have a problem with him is he tried to hit him twice. He missed the first time. I have hit 3 people on purpose in my life. I have missed a fourth. And when I missed the fourth, you lose your chance. That's it. You can't do it anymore. That is all. And the first 3 that I hit them, and that was it. You don't get a second chance at it. Unless you miss so badly that it wasn't apparent that you were trying to hit him. But Kelly, he was down and in. I was listening to the radio call on this station at that time, and the broadcasters made note of it. They said, oh, came close there. Could have been a little retaliation from earlier. And then the next, 2 pitches later, he hits him. That, to me, was super obvious. But Red Sox baseball comes up in 20 minutes as they take on the Yanks again. NHL action, as we told you, 6:30 over on AM 960 The Zone. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line now and find Eddie Garcia. Eddie Garcia, the Fox Sports NHL expert and NHL reporter. Eddie, thank you for being with us as we go up to the Bruins. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good as well. Appreciate it. Before we talk Bruins and Maple Leafs, and we'll get to that in a second, we've been talking a lot about retaliation so far today because of the Yankees-Red Sox brawl. Baseball polices itself. Hockey polices itself, too. What are the rules in retaliation in hockey?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It's gotten a little bit gray, to be honest with you, and not to my liking. I've seen a lot this year, and I've complained about it to no one in particular, that good, clean, hard hits in hockey are now being met with retaliation. And I think it's bad for the game. I think it takes away, in some cases, to just seeing good, hard hits. because, you know, guys don't necessarily want to get jumped just because you hit somebody cleanly. But, you know, I think some teams have gotten overly sensitive about sticking up for their teammates. Some people don't think that's a problem, but I think a good, hard, clean check is a part of hockey and should just be a part of the game. It doesn't need, you know, somebody to drop the gloves and go after somebody just because of that. You know, my argument is when somebody hits you hard, cleanly, you hit them hard, cleanly, or somebody else on their team hard, cleanly, and that leads to a good, hard, physical game. I don't need to see guys dropping the gloves and going after somebody for a good, clean hit, but I saw a lot of it this year, and not a big fan of it, to be honest with you.
As we talk about the Bruins, what's your stance on Brad Marchand? He's a guy who has a reputation as being dirty. How do you see him?
You know, I get both sides of the argument. There are people who absolutely loathe him, and for good reason, and there are people who absolutely are amazed by him, and for good reason. He's an incredibly talented player who has a knack for scoring big goals, and he also does a lot of dumb things and questionable things and things that you wonder, why did he do that? You know, jumping up in midair and making odd contact with a player who then injures his knee and is out for the year. And, you know, but he gets away with a lot of it. You know, I saw he got fined again this past week, the final week of the regular season. And I'm like, isn't he past the fining stage at this point? Yeah. Isn't it, you know, haven't we learned that maybe a $5,000 fine doesn't really mean much to him? Like I said, I get both sides of it. He's an incredibly talented player, a player that any team would love to have, but I understand why there are a lot of players and a lot of fans who really dislike him because sometimes he does things you just scratch your head at and say, that really doesn't make any sense. He doesn't need to do that. He crosses the line too much, and he gets away with it, though, so I understand why he continues to think, well, I'm effective this way. I'm not going to change my game, and whatever happens, happens.
Bruins Maple Leafs tonight. I look at this series and I say the Maple Leafs are young. I'd be worried about their youth and inexperience if I were a fan. I look at the Bruins and say, yeah, they've got veteran guys, but they've got a lot of key young players, and that youth and inexperience worries me as a fan. How important is game one tonight for whatever young team it is to get game one?
Well, I think it's important for Toronto more than it is for Boston. I think any time the road team can win game one, that's a pretty big, nice first step in a series. But, you know, these two teams are obviously both very good. It's unfortunate to see two teams with, you know, 100-plus points have to face each other in the first round. I'm not particularly a big fan of the NHL playoff format. I understand why they do it. And there doesn't seem to be any appetite, from what I hear, to changing it. But, you know, we'll see if obviously one of these teams is going to be out. How big of a stink do the Toronto Maple Leafs make if they're out in the first round after having the greatest point total in the history of that franchise, which has been around a little while.
Yeah.
So, but again, to answer your question, I think for the road team, a game one victory could go a long way. I think for Boston, who's going to have home ice, if they do come up short tonight, I think they can end up being okay. But it should be a great series. This is, you know, the two best teams as far as going head-to-head in round one. You know, I don't think there's any question about that. So, like I said, it's unfortunate one of them will be gone after the first round, but let's just enjoy the series, I guess.
Fox Sports NHL reporter Eddie Garcia with us here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com leading up to Bruins Maple Leafs. Let's go around the NHL. Playoffs kicked off yesterday. And look, I don't know that I thought the Flyers were going to beat the Penguins, but 7-0, I wasn't expecting that either, huh? Business as usual plus more for the Penguins.
Yeah, I'm sure the Flyers weren't expecting that either, but, you know, that was an embarrassing performance by Philadelphia, and I know a lot of people are going to point to their goalie, Brian Elliott, and he was very bad, but when you lose 7-0, there's plenty of blame to go around, and, you know, the Flyers had some chances early, and they didn't convert, and Pittsburgh, you know, saw an opportunity to step on their throat, and they gladly did it, and I'm sure many Flyers fans turned the TV off early, and Sidney Crosby scoring 3 goals against them is just salt in the wound. So the good news for Philadelphia is it's just one loss. 7-0, you know, doesn't make it a 2-0 series or anything like that. But they've got some questions to answer, especially in net. And for Pittsburgh, you know, I thought it was pretty amazing that the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions could be laying in the weeds. You know, people are talking about Nashville. People are talking about Toronto and Boston. People are talking about even Winnipeg. not a lot of people were talking about Pittsburgh, maybe because we've all seen it and we know what to expect from them, but I didn't think many people were talking about a three-peat, which would, you know, be something that hasn't been done since the early 80s. So that was certainly a statement first game for the defending champs.
The question that we ask every year, and hopefully the day will come we don't have to ask it, but what do you make of Alex Ovechkin's chances with the Capitals?
Well, I think he is, you know, the greatest goal scorer of his generation. I mean, another Rocket Richard trophy, 49 goals this year. He's amazing. We should just enjoy him and not really worry about where the legacy is until it's over, I guess. But it's hard to do when you've been that good and you put up that many numbers. And look, for Alex, there's no way to avoid it. He is in the conversation of greatest player in sports and who's never won a championship. You know, he's the Dan Marino of the NHL. I don't know what the short list is of that conversation, but he's on it. You know, the Capitals, I don't think a lot of people are expecting too much out of them because of their, you know, they continually come up short in the playoffs. It would be ironic if this is the year they finally got over the hump. But they're going to start Philip Grubauer in net in this series against Columbus, their number two goalie for most of the year. But he played better down the stretch, and I guess they feel like, you know what, at this point, we're going with the hot hand and give us the best chance to win, and whatever happens, happens. So that'll be very interesting to see how Philip Grubauer does and how Braden Holtby handles that if he has to come in the series.
What did you think out west last night, the later game, Vegas with the one-goal win over the Kings? What do you make of the Golden Knights here? People were wondering if the Cinderella carriage would go away at midnight. It hasn't happened through one game of the playoffs.
No, it isn't, and they're a very exciting team. I was able to get out to Vegas and see a game this year, and it's a very impressive environment, they're having a wonderful season, to say the least, a historic season. And, you know, I guess in sports sometimes we see teams and players do things that we shake our head at, and at some point they feel like this is where we're supposed to be, the team of destiny and all that kind of a cliche. But they seem to have embraced it. They don't have any pressure on them, to be honest with you at all, which is rare for a team that wins its division. And they're just going out and flying around and having fun. They did last night. That was a very low scoring game, only 1-0. I thought the Kings played well enough to win, but they didn't get the right bounce here or there. So I think that series could still be very competitive. But for Vegas, it's been an amazing ride, and I think they're just going to enjoy it as long as it lasts.
Eddie, we'll get you out of here on this. Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the NHL playoff games get buried on a lot of secondary TV networks? I know there's some games on the Golf Channel. Is that because NBC is punishing the NHL for not going to the Olympics, or is that just a conspiracy?
I would think that's just a conspiracy, but it's unusual, to be sure. I don't know. I still don't know where MSNBC is, but I have to find out every hockey season where it is for a few months, and then I forget about it. But, we see this with the NCAA tournament every year. I got to find out, where is True TV? Where is that again? What number is that? And then you remember for a few weeks, and then once it's over, you forget about it. So, you know, if you want to find the game, you're going to find it, and it won't be a big deal, for a few weeks. But it is odd, you know. I mean, I'm guessing that no golf is going to be on the NHL network anytime soon. So, the NHL doesn't have the greatest TV deal in the world, but I understand why they took it, because NBC promised that they would, put them prominently, and, ESPN and Fox in the past never really did. But it's not the greatest situation in the world. And they open themselves up for criticism and being the butt of the jokes. There's no avoiding that, unfortunately.
Fox Sports NHL reporter Eddie Garcia. Playoffs tonight for the Bruins, 6:30. We'll have it against the Maple Leafs with the pregame show over on 960 The Zone. Eddie, thank you for the time, perspective. We'll talk to you again.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Appreciate it. There he goes, Eddie Garcia. We are minutes away from baseball starting our pregame show at Fenway. Again, 6 games, Joe Kelly suspension, 5 games, Tyler Austin, a slew of fines for others. Let's get you the lineups, Game 3, the series finale. Sox, Yankees, Fenway.
It's almost that time. Baseball is in the air, and the Red Sox are about to take the field. So let's give you the lineups and the pitching matchup right now on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 ESPN.
The Yankees come into this matchup. They're 6-6. The Red Sox are 9-2, so 3.5 games up in the American League East. It's never too early to scoreboard watch. Pitching matchup, Sonny Gray for the visiting Bombers. He's 1-0 with a 3.60 ERA. He's coming off a winning effort his last time out. He allowed 3 runs and 4 hits over 6 innings in a win against the Orioles. He has struggled in his career against the Red Sox. He's 1-4 overall. He's also 0-2 with an ERA of nearly 7 at Fenway Park in his career. Opposing him, Red Sox starter Rick Porcello, the 2016 American League Cy Young Award winner. He's 2-0 with a 2.84 ERA. He's off to a strong start, winning his first 2 outings while walking just 1 and striking out 11. That is a big thing for Porcello. He's 8-8 in his career against the Yankees. The lineup for the visiting Yanks behind Sonny Gray: Brett Gardner leads off at center. Aaron Judge is in right, hitting .348, 3 homers, 8 RBIs. Giancarlo Stanton hitting .235, but had 3 hits yesterday. He hits third and plays left. Didi Gregorius, euphorious, hitting .359. He hits cleanup and plays shortstop. Gary Sanchez, the catcher, he hits fifth. Aaron Hicks back from the DL. He plays DH tonight and hits sixth. Neil Walker's at first base, hitting seventh. Tyler Wade is at second base. He hits eighth. Ronald Torres, he plays third and hits ninth. For the Sox, Mookie Betts leads off. He's in right. Andrew Benintendi back in the lineup. He plays left. Hanley Ramirez is at first base, hitting .357, 2 homers, 12 RBIs, tied for the league lead with Didi Gregorius. J.D. Martinez had a grand slam last night. His first is a Sox. He hits fourth. He's the DH. Rafael Devers is at third. Eduardo Nunez, one-time Yankee, is at second. Jackie Bradley Jr., hitting .206, plays center field, hits seventh. Sandy Leon is the catcher. And Brock Holt, hitting .077, but very much in the middle last night of the fracas. He's at shortstop. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Game 3 from Fenway. It's coming your way next on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wingo.
The NFL draft is 13 days away. We've heard enough about the